Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
You certainly are. The president of Renolfco, Walter Assey, is here with his large coffee that he says he cannot survive without. Yeah. Do you go? Are you a going guy or you're the drive-through guy?
Today, I play it safe on Saturday morning because I already give Jimmy a lot of heart attacks coming last minute and everything else. So today I kind of gauged it. There was like many cars on the drive through, and yeah. The funny thing is you go in and there's nobody. So, you know,
I
play safe. You know, I kind of do the average. I calculate and,
yeah. You
know, I can't be late for you.
No.
Again, you know that.
First rule of radio, you cannot be late.
No, I cannot be late,
all right.
Apparently.
All right. It's good to have you as always. 514-790-0800. If you want to pick his brain, you've got him here for the full hour. It's free. It's free advice and guidance and years of experience right at your fingertips. So call now, 514-790-0800. Talk to Walter like Marlo did. Marlo, good morning.
Good morning.
Your balcony.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Good to hear. Where are you exactly right now?
I'm on the road, actually going bowling with a bunch of friends. We're gonna have a good time.
Very nice, very nice. I used to wait for the bus in Cartierville, the 17 bus, right outside of a place called Spot Bowling.
Oh my gosh, that's a long time ago. Great memories, great memories. So I guess we're around the same age, 40, 45?
I'm almost there.
Exactly.
Marlo, talk to Walter about your balcony shifting.
Okay, well, I have an old home in Vaudreuil. The balcony, I'm being told, wasn't built at the same time as the home, so the balcony is shifting then, and what's happening is the balcony has now shifted enough where it's quite visual. So I made a claim because I purchased my home less than 3 years ago. I'm going through the experts who works with the insurance company, and they're telling me that I would need pillars to give it more structure, so to stop it from settling more than what it actually is. And I wanted to know, is that a good repair process to go through?
What kind of a balcony is it, Marlo?
What kind of a balcony?
Meaning,
well,
is it cement or is it wood?
It's cement, a cement balcony. The balcony underneath is being held up by, in some of the areas, by 2x4s, which are on a non-solid cement structure. When the inspector came in, he never even looked underneath the balcony. On my appraisal, verification, there were no photos, which basically allowed me to go against the inspecting company. So my question right now is, they want me to put columns to support it, where I said, I'm questioning, is that enough, or do I need a French drain to stop the water going underneath from moving it? I really don't know where to go at this point. They've asked me to go to a company that does structural work and get an estimate for columns.
Okay. Is this a first floor balcony or is it a second floor balcony?
First door. First door.
Meaning how high is it from the ground?
About 3 feet, four steps leading up to my main balcony.
And you have
the
and it's a cement landing, right? It's a concrete landing.
Yes, it's cement.
Okay.
Yeah, and the exterior of the balcony is all cement also.
Okay, and how much does it project, like the depth of it?
The length is about 16, 18 feet by 5 feet, roughly.
Okay, so it goes about 5 feet. Now, when you look underneath, what kind of structure there is right now?
The bed of the balcony is cement.
Okay. And what's underneath the balcony, like in that void? Do you see any columns at all?
Nothing. Nothing. Zero.
Okay.
Zero.
Okay. So, okay, so in a nutshell, what we have is a couple of issues. Number one, the size of it is massive. Cement balconies tend to be more, they're heavier than usual, right? So it's not like a wood structure. 18 feet is a big span. Usually you would have had something cantilevered up to, let's say, 3 feet would have maybe worked potentially. 5 feet, I find it's a big load. If you don't have any columns underneath to support it, they are right. This is going to keep on moving and it's going to create even more stress on the existing structure of your home. So what you're going to need to do is not just to do random cement pillars underneath. They have to have a footing, meaning you have to go below four feet in depth. It have to have a footing, and then you're going to pour the cement columns, cement pillars, in order to hold it and shore it. That's the only way that you will have it supported. There's no other way that I could think about, you know, that you can actually save the balcony if that's your intention. If not, then, you know, if you are, were you planning to get rid of it, or you're going to just try to save the structure?
Purchased a house 2.5 years ago, and it's beautiful. The balcony is beautiful. It's a, it's completely, you know, it's a really nice balcony, and I just want to save it.
Okay.
It gives so character to the home.
So you can. There's two ways you can go about this. Number one, Marlo, you can either call a structural engineer, and he can, they don't charge much for this because it's a simple, straightforward, how many pillars, the spacing, and everything else. And then you give that to a cement contractor, and then you can take it from there. Or if you, your inspector might be right, calling just simply, or insurance company in this case, someone that is familiar with structures, foundation companies that do this kind of work, or anybody that works in cement really, and they can kind of give you recommendations. But I would, if I were you, just because you already have shifting, I would start with a structural engineer. Usually it should cost you, before you ask, because I know you're going to ask that question, structural engineer should cost you between $800 to $1,400 for his consultation and a plan, which is better for you because now you have an engineer that will guarantee the structure. See, when you have an engineer or an architect, they become the first responders to any warranty issues. You can even bring them thereafter to verify the work of that contractor based on the plan that they've drafted. So it's an additional layer of security for you. And if you ever sell the house, you have all the backup documentations. Plus, you're going to ensure that there's no other domino effect in the structural movement of the balcony that happened inside the house.
Okay. My question is, you mentioned I need to make the footing. The footing will be underneath the existing walls of the balcony, or is it in the middle, or, you know,
it has to be spread around. They have to be spread around. So they won't be close to the foundation. They're going to be closer to the exterior extremity of your 5 foot span, right? So right now it's cantilevered. You don't have any supports in the, towards the end of the balcony. That's where you're going to need to add your columns. That's why now you have that movement, is because they put a massive structure, they have it just simply cantilevered. That's not enough for a cement balcony. It's way too heavy.
Okay, so the foundation is underneath the balcony, not outside the balcony. The footing. The footings will be underneath the balcony.
Correct.
And the columns will be there above the footing. Okay.
Exactly. All right. Exactly.
All right.
Think of it as, we call it le pas d'éléphant. So it's an elephant leg. That's how it starts. It starts with the base, and then you put the vertical pillar on that base.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That sounds great. I really appreciate your time, Mr. Assi.
No problem, Marlo.
Good luck, Marlo. Bye now.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Bye-bye.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Ken Connors alongside Walter Assi from Renovco. And Walter just told me during the commercial break that he and his team at Renovco got some good news this week.
We did. We got a call from the Suburban. Apparently, we won the best contractor in Montreal for the second year in a row.
Hey, good for you.
And a gold standard, which is the highest of the awards, which is really a great honor. And
very gratifying.
We owe it to our clients, really. I mean, we have the best clients you can have.
Félicitations, monsieur.
Thank you.
All right, 9:21. Let's put them to work here and go out to Beaconsfield. Philip, are you hanging on?
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning. Good morning.
You want to talk about a leak? I love this. It's written cryptically. There's a leak from an unknown source.
So I got up.
You sound like a whistleblower.
No, I don't think so. I got up to let the dog out. When I came downstairs at about 6 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
I came back in the house after the dog was out, and I went into the kitchen because I was hearing water falling.
Yeah.
So we have pot lights in the ceiling of our kitchen on the main floor, and there was water gushing out of dripping out of the one of the pot lights. So I immediately called my wife, and she got up and ran downstairs, and we put out some buckets and some towels, and then she turned off what she believed might be the source. And there's the bathroom above, so she turned off the water source to the tank of the toilet, and it still leaked. So then I turned off the main, and then it stopped leaking. And we were at a loss at what to do next. So we remember this show that you guys are doing right now, and we called Renovco. And this, of course, is before, like even before 8 o'clock in the morning. So soon after we called, we got a call back, and we talked to Sandro, and he was able to send two guys over within an hour and a bit. And they came in to assess the damage. And by the way, we didn't have any running water in the house at the time. So mm-hmm. they assessed the damage, and then they started to fix it. So what they didn't fix it, they tried to identify specifically what the problem was.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently they have this moisture meter, and they were able to find the actual spot where the water was leaking onto the ceiling above.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 3 feet away from the actual pot light, so it definitely wouldn't have guessed that it was not at the pot light. Anyway, so they cut a hole in, they looked around inside, and they identified what they believed to be the problem. And then within 2 hours later, the plumber had been there, and he identified the problem, and he had fixed the problem. So my question really is, we now have a hole in our ceiling,
mm-hmm.
and is there more than just fixing the hole now that the actual leak is resolved? Do we just need to plaster the fix the hole in the ceiling? By the way, they left this big machine sucking up all of the humidity.
Yeah,
and to make sure that they stop the any kind of mold growth.
That's correct. So
and it's still in the kitchen right now running.
Yeah, so here's the, and you've done everything really in the correct fashion. Like you said, usually when you see a leak somewhere, we tend to see this is exactly the location of the leak. Water does travel, it goes to the lowest spot or the weakest point in your ceiling, and that's where it comes out. So a moisture meter or a thermal imaging camera is extremely handy for these things because it can really zero in where the problem is. Having said that, you need to, anytime cellulose-based material or any material that have that could potentially be porous or retain water have to be dried within 24 to 48 hours. 24 is the optimum before mold growth will start.
Right.
Now, having said that, when you get rid of the wet material and you allow drying, usually the rule of thumb is 3 days. So that hole have to be open for about 3 days. That machine have to stay in your property for about 3 days to ensure that the humidity is all evacuated, that the structure have dried enough that you can now patch your ceiling, primer, and then paint. If you don't do that and there's still trapped humidity, simply the trapped humidity in that cavity could create you mold spores. That's why usually we say 3 days is you know, your sweet spot depending on how much water you had. If the damage is too small, you might not want to make an insurance claim. This is covered under insurance, obviously. What was the cause, if you don't mind me asking?
It's funny. It was the flexible hose from the bottom of the water tank. One of the joints had broken. Okay. And it was, in fact, the water tank that was causing the problem, but it was the hose that fed the tank with the fresh water.
Got it.
So the plumber replaced that hose, basically. But we had a hard dickens of a time trying to find out where it was coming from, because we suspected all sorts of other things, like our bathtub or something like that, another thing.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, we know that the leak is fixed. I mean, obviously, it's a good time to try your bathroom and do it like on a daily basis. If it's a bathroom that you don't usually use, try to use it because the ceiling is open. So if there's any other issues, it's the best time to figure them out, right? Sometimes you have seepage, not even a water damage. Like you have a shower that just leaks small quantities that you can't even see through the drywall. And that would be a good time to figure it out. But at this point, if the damage is too small and your deductible is fairly big, you might just want to not claim it to the insurance. If you find that it's, you know, above your budgets and what have you, then you can claim it, and then the insurance will pay for the emergency work, not for the plumbing, but for the emergency work and the reconstruction as well.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good luck with that. Thanks Philip.
One more thing. Sandra was supposed to come by tomorrow on Monday to either take the equipment away or give us an idea of what the next steps will be. But I don't know what they are right now. Okay, thanks
awesome.
Very much.
Not a problem. Thanks, Philip.
Bye now. 9:27 is our time. It's Ken Connors alongside Walter from Renovco. Instead of going to the phones and interrupting the call with the news, I think we'll just take a quick break here, if you don't mind, and then we'll get our newscast on, a road report from Jill, and then come back. Patrick in Pointe Claire and Joanne and LaSalle coming to you right after the news.
The Home Improvement Show, brought to you by Electrica Home Services, offering residential electrical, heating, air conditioning, and ventilation services. 514-768-7778.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
What's your secret? 9:35, I'm just chatting with my friend Walter here during the commercial break. We have to get right back to work, though. Let's bring in Patrick in Pointe Claire. Patrick, good morning, and thank you for waiting.
Good morning.
Furnace issues, no?
Yes, well, more like a probably heat pump issue. This morning, the fan on the furnace was running. Yeah. And it was spreading cold air. We put it on emergency heat. The furnace is running fine. So I'm assuming now that the heat pump is sending a signal to the furnace because the fan is coming on, but the pump is not working. So I'm wondering what the cause could be.
So it was sending cold air through the heat pump, because today technically your heat pump should be kicking in, not your furnace.
That's right, but so the fan on the furnace was running,
okay,
but it was producing a lot of cold air.
Okay, so it's your heat pump then that's not working.
I looked outside and the outside fan on the heat pump was not turning.
Yeah, so that's your problem. It's not really the furnace, it's the heat pump.
Yeah.
Especially when you put it on emergency heat, on emergency heat, and now it's working, so for sure you can zero it down to that. Is it electric? Are you heating?
No, it's an oil furnace.
Oil furnace. Okay. Okay. So, and how old is the heat pump?
Oh, I'd say it would be between 8 and 10 years.
Okay. And how old is the compressor?
On the pump?
Yeah.
Same age, I guess.
Okay. So, very, very common that after 5 years, usually 6 to 7 years down the line, usually, especially that generation, it could be a compressor issue. Unfortunately, that could be the case, because the newer ones are 10 years guaranteed, so they tend to last a little bit longer. But more often than not, you could be having a compressor issue.
Anything else that it could be? Because I suspected that, but is there anything else could be a relay?
Well, I mean, the chances are it's the fact that your fan is not turning. It could be a relay as well, but more often than not, in these types of generation, type of heat pumps, usually that will be the case, but I can't really tell you for sure. Do you remember who installed the heat pump?
Hang on a second. I'm just looking at my paperwork here.
Oh, you don't have to give me the name, but you remember the company. You still have the paperwork.
I think it was bought at Home Depot.
Okay, but it's not really Home Depot. They have usually someone that it's a subcontractor for Home Depot. But yeah, that's fine.
It's a crane.
Okay, so what I would do is I would call the same installer and get them to come and check it out. If you're lucky, they might keep you under warranty. But it's highly unlikely because 5 years. In that age.
Actually, it's more than 10. I'm looking at it. It said 2010.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow. You've really pushed your luck on that one. So very, very, very likely it's a compressor issue.
And if that's the case?
Well, if that's the case, it becomes a question of pricing, right? A new heat pump, depending on the size, starts about $4,000 to $5,000, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if a compressor is going to cost you half as much, then if you have enough budget, then you're better off buying the new generation heat pump altogether. Because usually after 14 years, they're going to start giving you all kind of different issues. Mm-hmm. What I love about the new ones, they're way, 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 way more efficient. Okay. And, they heat up to minus 30 and, they're guaranteed for 10 years and so on and so forth. So it doesn't make sense for you to start spending money on an old machine that is not as high efficient as what you would have today. So it becomes a question of, dollars and cents. Mm-hmm.
Understand. Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you for the call. 9:40. We're going to go right to Robert in Laval. Robert, you want to talk to Walter about your bathroom, right?
Yes. Hi, guys. Long-time listener. Love your show. Never miss it. Listen, I'm renovating a bathroom in a rental unit, and presently it's a 1960s home, so it's all copper piping, obviously. And I want to switch to PEX. The joints are basically in the ceiling. Once I shut it off, I just want to make sure that it's the right thing to do, or should I just continue a copper piping?
What is your reasoning to switch to PEX?
Just the ease of work. I mean, I'm trying to save myself some work. So, and I'm not a big fan of welding, especially since I'm renovating the whole thing and, with the wood and all. So,
okay.
I just want to make my life simpler, basically.
So the issue with PEX is on the clipping, right? When you, there are different types. We always call it PEX, but there are different qualities of PEX. Mm-hmm. Where the mistakes usually happen is not in the pipe itself, but in the clippings, right? So whenever you're going to connect two pipes together or turn a corner or what have you. There are some types of PEX. I don't know where you're buying your PEX from, but if you're going to like a specialty store,
mm-hmm.
like Nelco or Duchesne or Plomberium, yep. or all these guys, they will consult you on the different types that are out there. There are certain types that are, we call it the PEX foolproof type. Mm-hmm. So it won't clip if it's not clipping right. It doesn't. So it's mistake proof, if you wish.
Okay.
That's the type. If I'm gonna go with PEX, that's the type of PEX I would go with. Okay.
And what do you call that type of clip?
It's not the clip. It's the brand. I can. If you give me a few minutes, I'm gonna ask my plumber. The exact name, and I'll either email it or I can just say it on the radio.
We'll say it on the air, but in the next.
Okay, good.
But it's really what I would recommend, especially if you're a do-it-yourself type of a guy.
Yes.
I would really recommend that because that's really when you see it fails. The beautiful thing with PEX is, like you said, you don't have welding. There's no fire issues and what have you. Mm. But we've seen enough of the DIYs that had issues with clippage and corners and what have you. So if you would use that system, you're good to go.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, good. Okay. I'll keep listening for that brand then. Okay.
No problem.
Thanks, Robert.
Great, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Two lines is freed up, by the way, if you want to call and talk to Walter. Plenty of time. 514-790-0800. Dave out in Hudson, how are you?
I'm just great. The sun is shining the air is fresh. Walter, first, offering you congratulations on your Gold Star Award.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much.
When you replaced John Eakes, I was worried, but you've stepped it up a quantum leap above.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
And it's related to active listening. You listen to your callers and you pay attention.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
Makes all the difference.
I'm happy that you're not worried anymore.
I was never worried, man. But and here I go. Question about masticating pumps. I live in Hudson in a house that was built over the original tributary from Turtle Pond. Revealed back on 100-year-old maps, but so I have a sump pump, and found out that my basement still has no internal or bottom drainage. If you know what I understand that, so when it flooded, when the town had some flooding in 2017, we realized there was no French drain, so we excavated down to the bottom of the foundation, installed French drains. Corrected a lot of problems. Now I have a large masticating pump. It's as big as the drum of a washing machine. I want to know if I can clean out and drain my water heater, which, of course, accumulates sediments. Should I drain that, down through a sink or my shower in the basement through the masticating pump? That's the only way to evacuate it.
All right, you know what? I'm just going to pause right here, Dave, and we're going to come right back with Walter's comments, but I have to put you on hold.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Going to get back to David Hudson in just a second. It's 9:49 with Ken and Walter. Walter, you had some information that we were going to mention on the air for our caller, Robert.
Yeah, we're talking about the different qualities of PEX, right? And the different, if you wish, beside copper, what's out there and what have you. Now, in PEX itself, they're categorized into PEX A, PEX B, and PEX C. Obviously, the best product would be the PEX A, because it's made to be more flexible, so it's easier to work with.
Right.
And it's that less prone to freezing and cracking, and so on and so forth. But there is even a better quality, if you wish, product out there. It's called CPVC pipes. Okay, and I was talking about fittings with Robert.
Yeah.
The reason CPVC is better is because it gives a better water pressure than PEX. And there's a reason for that. It uses fittings similar to copper, in which the pipe is inserted into the fitting, whereas with PEX, the pipes fits around the outside of the fitting, so the internal diameter of the pipe is reduced at each fitting, even when full flow expansion fittings are used. So basically, CPVC gives you full diameter of your pipe and does not constrict your pipe with fittings like PEX wood.
Right.
That's why I would recommend for the gentleman CPVC.
All right, Robert, hope you heard that. Thank you very much. Let's go right back to Dave in Hudson. Hi, Dave.
Sorry, guys. I'm still writing down Walter's notes about PEX pipes here. Huh? A wealth of information.
Okay, yeah. When all is said and done, what was your question to Walter?
There we go. Can I flush a hot water tank through a masticating pump? That's my first question. Another quick follow-up.
You don't have any drains. You don't have any basement drains.
Exactly. Everything drains. That was the big problem in the construction of this house.
Yeah.
Because when they dug the foundation, they hit upon a creek.
Okay. My quick answer would be to you would be yes, because obviously you don't have any other choice. I don't see a problem with it. You could just have it done like that.
That's the other option, of course.
Sorry?
I could just let the sediment build up and not drain it at all, like most people.
Yes, but is it really good for the tank? So
I rent the tank. It's Hydro-Quebec's problem.
Oh, so if it's, how old is the tank?
Well, it's a rental tank, so, you know, it's less than 10 years old because they won't insure them after 10 years.
Right. I know, but is it really after...
I'm saying it's 7 years old at this
point. Okay, because hydro solution does not necessarily come and replace it before the 10-year mark. I don't know if you knew
okay,
that.
Thank you.
You would have to call them and tell them, by the way, your tank is 10 years old and come and change it. It's very seldom that you're going to get a call from them telling, oh, by the way, we're going
to
come and change your tank. Unless you are having problems with the tank right now.
I'll slow down. I can't write fast enough, Walter. No, I'm just kidding you.
I'll try to go as slow as possible.
No, I'm just kidding you.
Ken would not let me. We're on the clock.
We're on the clock.
We get paid by caller.
I got one more quick question after this.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So go ahead. What I'm saying is if you are experiencing any problems whatsoever with the tank, that's the beauty of renting it from Hydro Solutions. You can just call them. More exactly. often than not, they just swap it for you.
Yeah.
All right. So my next question, and I'll keep it brief. I have a sump pump, of course. I note that the sump pump, especially this time of the year, starts up. It runs about 15 or 20 seconds too longer than it should. I can see that it's like gargling, starving, sucking in the air. So I would typically at this point in time, I'll shut the pump off, let the pit fill up. Seems to reset the float valve.
Okay.
And then everything works fine. But my real question is, I installed a backup systems, some sort of maybe a jet pump system that runs off the town's water pressure.
Yeah.
If the power goes off.
Yeah.
And only once since I installed it nearly 7 or 8 years ago, when the power failed, I heard this noise and I said, holy shit, I heard and realized that this jet pump had started up and was evacuating the water. I did some research to realize you need to maintain these things and maybe check them on a regular basis to confirm that they will work when required.
That's correct. But the other issue that is more important is that they're not very efficient. They won't extract big volumes of water.
That's okay.
They're a good backup system, but yeah. if you would have a power failure during a very heavy storm,
right.
or during the spring thaw when it's really active, then you're gonna realize that they're not as efficient, if you wish, or as they don't extract water fast enough. So the best, really, if you wanna kind of play it safe, would be a battery powered pump, because it will extract the same amount of water as a regular pump, whereas this one is maybe at 25% efficiency. So just kind of calculate these if you can't really rely on it for a long period of time in a case where you and unfortunately most of the time we have those power failures when we have these crazy torrential storms.
Mm.
So that's when we really need it the most. I would make a study on what is the evacuation versus because they come in different qualities as well, versus what you have right now as a pump, and then I will make my decisions accordingly.
There you go, Dave.
That's enough time. How much time do I have to evacuate my basement? But how often do I have to maintain that to check that it will work when required?
Usually it's once a year. And if you are in a high water table area, it's twice a year.
Okay, because it's a bit of a process. You've got to shut off the normal system, then flood the pit.
Yeah.
Confirm that the backup system does run.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right,
you do it
Walter,
on a sunny day, not on a rainy day.
Yeah. Sweet.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks again.
We're going to try to sneak in. We probably have a 2 minutes max? 2 minutes. Al in Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu, right?
Yes, sir.
There's a smell coming from the garage drain?
No. I have a double car garage. There's two drains on either side. And when I wash my car, as soon as there's some water that goes into the drain, for about 15 minutes, I have kind of a sewer smell coming out.
Hmm. Okay, and how often do you use these drains?
Oh, how often do I use them? I wash my cars at least once a week.
Oh, you do? So yes. You use it almost every week?
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
And do you use both drains?
No, just one.
Okay, so there's one drain that is not used.
Correct.
Okay. So would you try this for me? In that unused drain, can you pour some mineral oil in that? And or any type of oil for that matter, you know, cooking oil, what have you, but mineral oil would be the best. And tell me if that would work.
Okay, so that would stop the water from...
So what happened is probably that the water, the P-trap water in it is probably evaporated, and that's why you're having that sewer smell that, you know, that comes out. Oil takes a lot longer than water to evaporate, so it will stay, especially as any drain that is not used, it's a good practice. Mm. So you don't have to always constantly pour water in it. Try that. It will stay for a long time, so you'll only have to do it every few months. Instead of with water, you have to do it at least once a month. And let me know if that works.
Okay, and how's that for environmental?
How what?
How is it for environmental
reasons? Oh, it's very good. Yeah. It's just mineral oil, so yeah. There's no...
Mineral oil.
Yeah,
okay.
There's no,
should be fine.
No issues at all with that.
Good luck with that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Look at the time. Where'd the hour go?
I have no idea.
Put out a search party. Lost an hour.
Thank you, Ken, so much.
Thank you.
For coming. I really appreciate you showing up.
Thank you very much.
Quick thing. I want to just wish Rita happy birthday.
Rita?
She's a very important part of Renovco, and it's her 30th tomorrow. So I want to thank her and wish her the best.
Happy birthday, Rita. Keep up the great work. Walter, thank you. Don't go anywhere, by the way. Lisa's ready to go with the car show. And then Mandy's new show, Mandy Robertson, Unwind for Wine Lovers, debuting today at 11 o'clock. Dario, thank you very much. We'll talk again tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock on Weekends with Ken.